Election fever is catching. Unfortunately, it's not the only virus we have to be worried about. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us every week wherever you catch good podcasts at US of Ed, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. Latest primaries, Joe Biden has extended his lead since Super Tuesday, but Sanders is standing firm. Ed, is it all over but the crying?
You got a towel? Because we can do a lot of crying now. Florida will go for Biden, and then Biden will have enough votes to win on the first ballot. And if he hasn't got enough, the people who stepped out will give them his, and he'll have enough. The boomerang is an important symbol here. Trump threw that boomerang out, and guess where it landed? Right back in his head. Ukrainian boomerang. We should call this the Ukrainian boomerang election.
I just also want to point out, at time of recording, Tulsi Gabbard is still technically in this race with her whole two delegates. My question, why?
Well, I'm not quite certain why. I could speculate. She's trying to get something out of this. And you know, there are people who are calling her infiltrator, a spy, all this kind of stuff. If she is, she doesn't want to drop out and have people descend on her. And if she's not, she might be saying, I'm going to stick it out and show that I'm tough. But I think she's pretty well ruined, even in Hawaii.
And as you were mentioning there, I mean, in terms of look, what's going to happen next in this race, Elizabeth Warren out of the race last week after Super Tuesday, but still has not made a decision as to who she will throw her support and her delegates behind. Ed, what's the delay?
She's trying to figure out which way the wind's going to blow. She doesn't have a whole lot to offer. It's pretty clear she's not going to be the vice president, at least in my book, and I think a lot of other people's book. A Midwesterner by the name of Klobuchar pretty much has that sewn up. So she's holding her delegates as bargaining chips for both sides. Bernie, she's much closer to than she is to Doe. And if she could push Bernie closer to getting it, she'd throw him there. If she pushes him to Bernie and he doesn't go anywhere, that means she's really on the outs with Joe, and she has no place to go. So she's playing this tough, cute, and maybe smart.
Is it fair to say the possibility of a 2024 run, if Trump is to win in 2020, a 2024 run might be playing in Elizabeth Warren's thoughts?
I can't be sure of that. That does make a lot of sense. I'm glad you brought it up. But having been this far out in this election cycle, it doesn't look good for her. The smart thing for her to do is pick the winner and then get something from that winner. It'll be good for her own seat. There's no reason for her to take an administration seat. So she has to do something for Massachusetts that raises her prominence to a national level, and then she does the book tours and things like that. A woman can do the job, etc. I don't see her going anywhere else.
The specter of the Mueller investigation, it never quite goes away. With an appeals court this week ruling that the House can see Mueller's secret grand jury evidence. Now, the Trump team will again appeal this decision. Anything in it?
Well, I think the more things that are said about this, the more correct people worry about what was in it, and the worse Barr looks. But I don't think there's anything in it that we don't really know. We know there was a level of kind of silly cooperation between the Russians and the Trump team, because the Trump team were not really a team. It was just a bunch of guys running around playing tag with the Russians. So we know that was going on. We also know that Trump was trying to use this election for his own personal purposes, like a building in Moscow etc. This evidence will only confirm what we already know. How hard you fight for it, God only knows. But one of the things the Democrats can do by having this appealed is keep this in the air without having their grubby hands on it. And that's what they'll do if they have to.
Speaking of Moscow, looking abroad, Russia moving the goalposts to keep President Putin in power. Some sources even saying they could make Putin president for life. Any thoughts, Ed?
Isn't he president for life? The notion of this being a democracy is really over. And the potential for him to rule on and on and on is very much there. And if he were going to turn the government over, there'd be such a crash in the internal infrastructure that'd be bad for Russia. So I guess keeping the dog you know is better than going out and buying a new dog. He is filthy rich, worth billions. He just doesn't know what to do with himself because he can't use that money outside of Russia. He'll go to jail any place he goes. There's somebody else like that. His name's Donald.
Might be taking some cues, I think. I think he might like the sound of president for life.
Well, better than prison for life.
And North Korea, in response to condemnation over earlier live fire exercises, North Korea decided to fire 3 short-range projectiles off its east coast earlier this week, what they called a momentous action. Where is Trump's fire and fury? I mean, I know we talked about this early on a couple of weeks ago, but indeed, like, this was one of the key issues early on in his presidency, and now it is all quiet on the Western Front.
Well, it was early on, and there weren't that many issues. Now, he's overwhelmed by issues around the world, not just domestically, but around the world. And the issue now, the corona, where he has not done very well, we could mention other prime ministers who haven't done well in crisis, but we won't go there. It seems actually like the Italian prime minister is doing a pretty good job. The momentum for Trump with North Korea is gone. I mentioned several weeks ago, North Koreans have to bring themselves back onto the table internationally or they lose everything. They need oil. They need all kinds of supplies. The only way they can get them is threaten people because the blockade's pretty effective. And they're using these threats to see that the South Koreans will deliver them a little bit. And maybe on the side, the United States. Iran, with this virus, is big deal for North Korea because Iran is their number one trading partner below the line. And for both of them, there's good trade that goes on. They're both under sanction, so trading with one another is not a big deal. But Iran has oil, and I don't know what North Korea has. It has a little bit of money that it gets from various nefarious sources, including a lot of gambling. So we'll see what happens here. I think North Korea is in a funny position because with the virus going on, people can't give them much attention. And what they need right now is a lot of it.
And the World Health Organization has officially declared the coronavirus a pandemic. The U.S. today has suspended all travel to most of Europe to try and control the spread, Trump blaming the EU for not restricting travel to China fast enough in the early days of the outbreak. This seems like quite a step, Ed.
Well, Trump blames somebody for something, but never himself. This is a very big step. First in my lifetime, maybe you know something else, but this is the first time I've heard of anything like this. Clearly, we had in the Asian flu era some things that were being done, but they were all much more personal safety. This is national safety. It's something well beyond anything I've ever seen or experienced. And how do we get this genie back in the box? Because if this virus took off. Let's say it dies. It'll certainly have a cousin or a child. There's another virus out there. These things replicate themselves.
Might this affect the 2020 election? I mean, as you kind of mentioned a moment ago, we look towards our leaders in these crisis situations. And up until this point, Trump has definitely seemed like he's a little bit more concerned with the economic side of things than the health side of things. You can ignore Trump and his kind of buffoonery when the economy is ticking along and everything's kind of, you know, the ship is sailing pretty steady. But as you mentioned, we've seen here, and now we see with Trump, in a crisis situation, these true colors kind of
yeah.
come out.
Well, let's look at it from an electoral perspective. Who are the voters? They're older people. Who can get this disease? Older people. People who are for Trump and had nothing to lose by being for Trump, now they have health insurance to lose. Now they have health care systems to lose. So Trump is gone. Biden's victories, I believe he took every county in Michigan.
Mm.
Tell me that those were votes against Trump, not for Joe Biden. Joe Biden's not that popular, but people are beginning to say, we need an adult in the room. It was okay for Trump in the beginning because, as you say, it looks like the economy, which was in false close, was pumping along. But now that soft underbelly is coming out, somebody wants somebody in the room that can handle things. And the election is going to swing on that, the adult in the room.
And just finally, Ed, anything in the next week? I mean, this is all happening now. Over the next week, anything we should look towards in terms of the 2020 race?
Well, I believe Florida will be coming in. I believe that might be next week or the week after. When Florida comes in, it's over. There's no way Bernie can win Florida. It's got two things, old people and blacks. So Bernie has to start pitching, and he started to do so, toward his constituency to preserve them. There are no other races for Bernie anytime soon.
If you ever like to get in touch with Ed and myself, you can email us at usofed@2ser.com. Also find us on Facebook and Twitter at usofed. Hey, we'll be back next week. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast. And if you're feeling generous, maybe drop us a review.